Well, since we're in the gift-giving season, I thought I would share with you one of the best gifts and most helpful gifts I ever received. And let me give you a little bit of context to set this gift up. I wasn't born with a good sense of direction. Can anybody relate to that? Yeah, there we go. So I get lost really easily. I just can't figure it out. And I've discovered that there are two sets of people. There are people that have good sense of direction and the people that don't have a good sense of direction. And I discovered those two groups of people get married. And that's a very helpful thing. It's a very helpful thing. So that happened to me. My wife has a great sense of direction, but I get lost easily. And this has plagued me for most of my life. In fact, early in my career, I did a lot of work in downtown Atlanta. I would be walking between buildings and people would come up to me and say, "Hey, can you tell me how to get to here and there?" And I would just look at him and I would say, "I can tell that you're having a really bad day today. Because of all the people in Atlanta that you could have selected, you chose me." And they would say, "Oh, we're so sorry. We thought you might be from around here." I said, "No, I've lived here all of my life, okay? I just can't figure this out, okay? So I just have a really bad sense of direction." But several years ago, my life changed forever when someone gave me the Garmin. Anybody remember the Garmin? Yeah, it was this GPS thing and you would type in the address and it would tell you where to go. And I no longer felt directionally insecure. It was awesome. And now it's on our phones. Isn't that amazing? And we have Siri and we have Waze, and Waze tells you where to go. I love Waze too, because Waze has different voices that will tell you. One of the first voices was the voice of Colonel Sanders with Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't know if you remember this. And they would say, "There's a policeman up ahead. If they stop you, tell them that I was with you last night." I love that, okay? So that's just awesome. So you have the voice of Siri, and Siri says go 2.3 miles and go to your left. That's amazing. My life changed forever. But when you don't have a good sense of direction like me, and you're traveling around and you're hearing from the voice from above telling you where to go in life, then something really terrible happens when suddenly on your phone you get this thing. And when you have a good sense of direction, this is wonderful, because now you're back in charge. But when you don't have a good sense of direction, this is the spinning wheel of death. You don't know what to do. And suddenly you come to a decision point. You got to go left or you got to go right. And you're not sure what to do because you hear this voice from Siri.
"Proceed to the route."
Right. And like, well, I don't know how to proceed to the route. That's why you're here. And so I take a left and I'm going. In just a few seconds, I hear another voice from Siri and it sounds like this.
"Rerouting."
Rerouting. And Siri says rerouting with a little bit of an edge to her voice, kind of like rerouting. And then I'll say back, "Hey, we wouldn't be rerouting if you hadn't given me the spinning wheel of death and had told me to proceed to the route. But now I don't know why I'm talking to you, because you're artificial intelligence." Siri responds back to me, "I might be artificial, but at least I'm intelligent." And then suddenly, how many of you have ever argued with Siri? So yeah, so you can. And in fact, this happened to me Friday. Friday, I'm in Nashville going somewhere, and I can't imagine where Siri is taking me. And I actually said this out loud. This is embarrassing. You should be concerned. "Where are you taking me?" Have you ever asked that of Siri? Where are you taking me? Now, the reason I tell you that little silly but true story is that I think that relates a lot to our seasons of life. That you're driving along in life, if you will, and the future is bright and clear and certain, and you know exactly where you're going, and then suddenly you get the spinning wheel. Suddenly there's a twist and a turn in your circumstances. Suddenly something happens with the business. Something happens with your health. Something happens with someone's health that you care for. Something happens financially or career-wise, and suddenly the future gets really, really murky and foggy, and we begin to ask some really hard but really real questions, such as this: "Lord, where are you taking me?" You ever ask that question? Hey, I the future was looking great, but suddenly, because of what I see, the future's murky. Lord, where are you taking me? What possible good could these circumstances lead me to? Or how about this one? What do you do when you can't find your way? What do you do when you find yourself in a season where you're not sure what the next step might be? I mean, reality for all of us, at both of our locations, and as a pastor, I hear your stories. And for many of us this year, you find yourself in Christmas at a place at the Christmas season where you didn't expect to find yourself. You didn't expect to find yourself downsized. You didn't expect to find yourself divorced. You didn't expect to find yourself in this season or that season. Or maybe you didn't find yourself thinking that you were hoping you were going to get in that school and you didn't get into that school. Or you got into both schools and now you're wondering, which way do I go? Lord, where are you taking me? What do you do when you can't find your way? Or how about this one? Where do you turn? What do you do when you don't know where to turn? And maybe most problematic of all is when we're asking these really good questions, and then you look up to the heavens, to the voice from above, and it looks like the connection relationally to God looks a little bit like this. You're not getting answers. And the future looks very confusing. What do you do when this happens? And what do you do when you find yourself this Christmas season not sure where to go and where God is taking you? So very real questions to process through. Then, while we're experiencing this, over here, we have the Christmas story, right? And it's this nice, cute, sweet little story, and we'll celebrate it for a couple of days, but we know in the back of our minds that once the Christmas season is over, we go right back to those questions. And so we kind of put it on pause for a little bit, which is good. We put it on pause and we'll pick this up after Christmas. So we come over here and we look at the Christmas story and it looks like it has no relevance to the real life questions that you and I process through, such as, Lord, as I look at 2020, where are you taking me? What do I do when I don't know what the next step is? Where do I turn when I don't know where to go? But the Christmas story is a really cool story. The Christmas story, if we're not careful though, the Christmas story is a little bit like Instagram. Like from a distance, as you scroll through, what we're seeing is the highlight reel of everyone. But once you draw close to people in real life, you begin to discover, oh wow, you've got real issues too. Oh wow, you've got real life questions too. Oh wow, things aren't as great as they may seem. And when you draw near to the Christmas story, you find a group of people asking very similar questions that you and I ask from time to time. And many of us are asking that today. Lord, where are you taking me? Lord, what is happening? Lord, I thought my future was going this way and suddenly everything changed. Now, what do I do? In fact, if you're there today, and if you're not there today, you will be there in the future in terms of processing these questions. I want to point you to two of the primary figures in the Christmas story. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. And when we keep our distance from the manger scene, it looks like they got it all together. They have no questions. They have no doubts. The future is bright. But once you draw close to this story, you begin to see that Mary and Joseph have very similar questions to you and to me. But here's the great news. As we draw near to the Christmas story, we begin to find the answers to those questions. So if you're here today, at any of our locations, and you're asking, Lord, where are you taking me? If you find yourself in a season going, I don't know what to do next. If you're in a season where you're saying, I don't know how to find my way, I got great news for you today. There's an answer to all of those questions, and they're found in the Christmas story. Let me give you an example of this. Let's take Mary. This is what we hear in the account of Jesus from the book of Matthew. This is how Matthew tells us and helps us process through these questions. He says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. So here's Mary, the future's bright, the future's clear. She's engaged to Joseph. They're gonna get married. It's gonna be a wonderful life, and suddenly everything changes. Suddenly she discovers that she's pregnant, and suddenly she has to have a really hard conversation with her fiance. And we've all been there, right? We've all had those DTRs, those define the relationship moments. And I don't know how this worked out, but maybe Mary and Joseph had coffee at Starbucks and she said, hey, here's the deal. I got good news and bad news. Which do you want first? And we all know that you should deliver the bad news first because you end with the good news. So maybe Mary says, the bad news is, Joseph, I'm pregnant. But the good news is it's God's son. Imagine how that went over. Because from Joseph's perspective, it was bad news and bad news. The bad news is my fiance has been unfaithful. And the bad news, maybe even worse news, is she's crazy. She thinks this is God's son. Now, I don't know how the conversation went. We don't get those details. But I do know the result of that conversation. Matthew lets us know the end result to this very awkward, hard conversation. This is what he tells us. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, when it comes to the Christmas story, we talk about how Mary was chosen by God, which I think we should because that's true. But what we often fail to overlook is that Joseph was chosen by God as well. Joseph found favor in God's eyes. He was a righteous man. And because of that, even though he was devastated, even though he was brokenhearted, even though he was convinced that Mary had been unfaithful, he wanted to protect her and he was going to divorce her quietly in order not to expose her publicly. This shows his character and his heart. So when we keep our distance from the Christmas story, we don't see any of this. But when we pull up closely, what you discover is you have two people that are bewildered, that are confused, and suddenly what looked like a bright, clear future has gotten totally confusing. Can you ever relate? And so in the middle of this, God says something to Joseph and Mary, and in many ways, I think he's saying this to us as well today. This is what happens. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, Joseph, in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So in essence, what God is telling Mary, and in essence, what God is telling Joseph is this: in the middle of this really confusing situation, you can trust me. And if you're here today, Sugar Hill, Hamilton Mill, the student building, and you are tracking with this because 2020 looks very confusing or maybe even a little bit murky, the message that God wants to send you is you can find your way. You can find your way, but you need to trust me. Now, what makes trusting God sometimes so hard are these pesky, little annoying moments. I describe these as the "really, God" moments. Like, really? I'm trying my best here, Lord. I'm trying my best. And then things get a little bit more difficult. And let me show you a really God moment in the story of Jesus, in the Christmas story. And if we're not careful, again, we look at this nice, sweet little story and just fly by this. But this is a really God. This is kind of an annoying, pesky moment. And those annoying, pesky moments can convince us that God is not with us. Those annoying, pesky moments can convince us that God's not for us. An annoying, pesky moment like this in the Christmas story. And she, Mary, gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And if we're not careful, we can just fly on by. Time out. The story of Jesus, when we understand the scriptures, are told to us that the story of Jesus has been set from the foundation of time. Then, not only that, the story of Jesus has been prophesied for hundreds of years. Not only that, Matthew, who's writing all this, begins his account of the life of Jesus with the intricate genealogy of Jesus, how intricate it was. And so Jesus is born. They go to Bethlehem. All of this has been set up, and they go to the inn. Joseph gets off the camel, goes to check in, and are we supposed to believe that someone in heaven forgot to make a hotel reservation? And in those moments, imagine this, Joseph has to come out of the hotel, the inn, and tell his very, very pregnant wife that they've got to sleep in the barn. I have a feeling that they said, "Really, God? We're doing our best here, and we can't even get a hotel room?" And in those moments, we wonder, God, where are you? And in those moments, stories like the Christmas story, they seem like they don't have any relevance. But I'm telling you, they are completely relevant to where you are and where I find myself from time to time like you do. Because here's the reality about life. Plans change. Sometimes the hotel is full. Sometimes we're just tired. And when we are tired, we can get confused. Sometimes God seems mysterious. And sometimes we just can't seem to find our way. This is why I love the scriptures, because they're so real. Maybe you're here today and you can totally relate to another question that Jesus got from one of his close followers when he said this, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And some of us, maybe many of us, maybe all of us are there in one form or fashion today, and we're asking questions such as these. Lord, where are you taking me? And what do I do when I can't find the way? And what do I do when I don't know where to turn? So if you're here today, and it's the Christmas season, but 2020 looks mysterious and confusing, what do you do? I want to give you the answers to these questions, but forget about me. More importantly, I think your Heavenly Father wants to give you the answers to these questions. And to do that, what we're going to discover are these two words right here, the way. That's a clue. That's a secret. Hey, I've got an answer to all of these. And what I want to do for just a moment, I want to share with you how these two words, the way, will lead you and me to the answers to these questions. And when we have the answers to these questions, let me just tell you this. You may not walk away today with all of 2020 a lot more clear, but you will walk away today knowing that you can find your way. You are not alone. God is with you. And it comes down to these two little words. What do these two little words really mean? And how can they impact your life and my life in the weeks and months ahead? Well, I want to give you a little bit of a backstory of these two little words, the way. The way actually is a secret to unlocking the Christmas story that can help take it from a story that's like this nice little sweet, cute, removed story from your real life and actually have a powerful impact on your life and my life. And these two words, the way, they start showing up hundreds of years before Jesus arrived on the scene, but they were a prediction and an explanation of what Jesus was all about. This is what the prophet Isaiah said 700 years before Jesus arrives on the scene. He says, in the desert, prepare, and here's our two words, the way. This is a clue. This is a foreshadowing of what's to come. In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. God is on the move. God is making a way to where? Well, the prophet Malachi picks up on this. And before the Old Testament closes, this is what the prophet Malachi says. He says, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare, and here's our two words again, the way. This word keeps showing up, highlighted, in bold. All of this going to the questions of, Lord, where are you taking me? See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Then the Old Testament closes. God goes silent for years, centuries. Then suddenly, the story picks up in the New Testament. And Mark, who writes an account of the life of Jesus, picks up on all of this and in essence says this in the book of Mark chapter 1, prepare, and here's our two words again, the way for the Lord. In this word, the way is consistently said over and over and over again. And then not only that, fast forward to when the church begins in the book of Acts. And Christianity is not called Christianity. You know what it's called to? You know what it's referred to? It's referred to as this. It's referred to as the way. And this is so helpful for those of us who look at a very confusing, murky future and go, how can I find my way? Your Heavenly Father loves you so much, he doesn't want you to be unclear about how you find your way. But when it comes to finding the way, typically what we're looking for are circumstantial details, and all of that's important. But what we ultimately begin to discover when we discover what the way is the way is this. The way is a person. And when we have a confusing future, what we have to understand is while the details are important, the way the details will take shape is to first understand who the way is. And so when we come to difficult moments in our lives, if you're arriving in this Christmas season with a confusing, Lord, where are you taking me? What Jesus wants to speak to you today is to tell you this, you can find your way. You can find your way forward because Jesus says, I am the way. And here's the reality for you and for me for Christmas. This is great news for you and me. This shows you how much God loves you. God made his way to you so you could find your way to God. God moved literally heaven and earth to make his way to you so you can find your way to God. And when we begin to understand who the way is, and that the way is a person, the way is God's son, what we begin to do is understand how we find our way through him. Let me give you an example of how this works. Let's put the questions back on the screen. Lord, where are you taking me? What do I do when I can't find the way? What do I do when I don't know where to turn? Here are the answers to these questions, and they come out of the Christmas story, come out of the story of Jesus, and arrive to you and to me today. Lord, where are you taking me? The answer is clear from your heavenly Father. He says, I'm taking you to Jesus. I know that, Lord, but I need to know where the next job is. I got that. I need to know where I go from here to there. I got that. But ultimately, where I'm taking you is here because, and you know this, ultimately, the economy will fade away. Ultimately, the organization will close down. Ultimately, this world will fade away. But there will be one thing that remains, and it's him. And he's made his way to you. And while the circumstances of next year may look a little murky and a little foggy, what you can walk away with today because of the Christmas story is one thing isn't unclear, one thing isn't uncertain, it's the fact that Jesus has made his way to you. And when you walk with the way, all of the circumstances will be written for his glory and for your good. That's a truth from the scriptures. And while the what in our life is important, you know this. When it comes to this, you know that who you know is more important than what you know. For those of you in the business world, this, by the way, is why LinkedIn was created. Because they're saying, if you can increase your relational network, that's gonna help your career. Gwinnett Church, I've got great news for you. In one fell swoop, in one person, your network of influence is massive when you come to know Jesus. You have amazing connections if you'll step toward the way. When you believe in the way, you believe in the greatest next step to find your way. So, God, what do I do though when I can't find the way? Jesus says, I am the way. And what do I do when I don't know where to turn? Jesus has an answer for that as well. So if you're here today and you're like, I don't know what to do with the next step, Jesus says, follow me, follow me. We will figure this out together. That's why we are inviting you at both of our locations to follow Jesus in the new year. Because as we follow Jesus together, he begins to write a story and he begins to make the things that are uncertain certain. And there may be some situations where it will take time, but ultimately when you're doing this, God is writing a greater story. And this is true for all of us, but for those of you who are students, I want you to lean into this. Because so many times I talk to students, so many times I talk to folks that are about to graduate or have graduated and they're trying to figure out their career. I'm like, hey, we'll talk about all that and all that's great. But here's the most important thing that you can do to find your way. Because when you follow Jesus, you find your way. When you are fully focused on Jesus, you will find your way. And here's the great thing. When you don't know where to turn, this is great news. God has given you someone to turn to. So if you're here today and you would say, Jeff, I don't know where to turn from a career standpoint. I don't know what to where to turn from a relationship or a situation in my life. I don't know where to turn. And hey, the details are important. And I'm not saying we should downplay the details. I'm saying the most significant thing you can do is not turn to a what quite yet, but to turn to a who. Because when you don't know where to turn, God has given you someone to turn to. Now, let me talk to the English teachers at both of our locations. I know I should not end a sentence with a preposition. I understand that. This just sounds better to me, okay? Because ultimately, when we don't know where to turn, we have someone to turn to. And do you know who that someone is? It's the Savior of the world who is wanting you to turn to him. And so for a few minutes, or a few seconds, I want to talk about him. I want to talk about Jesus. Jesus is extraordinary. I've been following Jesus since I was 10 years old. And for those of you that have come to Gwinnett Church for a while, I just want to let you know, this isn't a job to me. I'm a marketing guy. Sometimes I ask God, how did I get here? But you know what I just decided to do from the age of 10? Is just keep following Jesus and keep following Jesus and keep following Jesus and keep following Jesus. And I'm telling you, there have been some confusing times, but in the darkest times of my life, Jesus has been there. In the best seasons of my life, Jesus has made them, he's made them better. And when I don't know where to do, and I feel the anxiety that I've admitted to you that I struggle with, when I feel that anxiety begin to bubble up in me, I can hold my arms out and go, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. But my hope is not in what or where or when. My hope is in you. There's just something different about Jesus. He's not a religious figure. He's a person. He's the Savior. He saves you and me. You see that in the scriptures. They don't know what to do with Jesus. So many people, even those who believed in him, even those who didn't believe in him, they're like, there's something different about him. You see this when Jesus has this conversation with Pilate, and he's the one who has the authority, ultimately sends Jesus to the cross. He begins to understand and figure out there's something different about this man. He tries to back away. He tries to get out of it. He does this symbolic thing of washing his hands and says, I'm going to walk away from this. Even Pilate's wife comes up to him and says, there's something different about this man. And they were right. Somehow Pilate knew that as he was sentencing this man to death, it would have historic implications. He had no idea that 2,000 years later on the other side of the world, we would be talking about both of them. But the reality for Pilate, and the reality for you and the reality for me, is there is something different about this man. He's God, he's a Savior, and he knows your name. One of the reasons that Jesus is different than any other religious leader is he knows your name. And if you think, Jeff, how can God know me, small little me, in this big old world? Well, here's why. There's nothing too big for God, and there's no one or nothing so too small for God. But here's the deal. Maybe your circumstances have convinced you that Jesus isn't real. Maybe your circumstances have convinced you that you can't trust Jesus. That's why the Christmas story is a gift to you and me. Because two people in history, Mary and Joseph, with totally confusing stories, totally confusing situations, ultimately trusted. And Mary delivers a son who will ultimately deliver her from her sins and usher her into a relationship with her heavenly Father. And so this Christmas, what I want to invite you into, but forget me, what Jesus wants to invite you into, is a relationship with him. And maybe some of you, you already are in a relationship with him. Just remind you, this is who we're dealing with. The Savior of the world who has made his way to you so you can make and find your way to him. and he will take the what and the when and the where and the how and work it all for his glory and all for your good. Because the way is a who, is a savior. And when we understand that, everything changes. Because there are seasons when our dreams, they grow dim. There are seasons when our hearts grow cold. But when that happens, he's never far from my broken soul. He's never far from your broken soul, because he made his way to you. And that's the story of Christmas. And when you find your way to him, everything, everything changes. Father, thank you for the story of Christmas. Thank you for those at both locations who've experienced that through their baptism this year, through what you've done in their lives. But God, I want to pray specifically for those who understand exactly how it feels to ask those questions. They're asking the question, Lord, where are you taking me? They're asking the question, where do I go from here? How do I find my way? What do I do? What's my next move? What's my next situation to turn to? And God, all of that is important. But in this moment, because of Christmas, because you made your way to us, will you allow us the strength and the clarity to know that the very best move we can make is just turn our attention to you and to follow you, because you are the way. And in those seasons when our dreams grow dim and our hearts grow cold, thank you that you have drawn near. You put an arm around our shoulders and say, follow me and watch what I will do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.